Here we are, Srila Prabhupada's birthplace, as Vishwambar Gaur Prabhu was introducing us. This is a very historical place where, in one sense, many of us were born. It's not only Prabhupada's birthplace, but it's because he was born, in many ways, we were born in the most substantial of ways. No? Biologically, we were born somewhere else, not here, but in a deeper way, we were born here. So in one sense, this is our birthplace as well, in many ways. Even if we have not been directly coming in touch with Srila Prabhupada's official line, the outflooding that came through his heart somehow sprinkled everyone, basically, right? So, as we're being told, he was born on 1896, September 1st. And that's also a very interesting coincidence, or God incidence, as I like to say, because that's the same year where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sent one of his books about Sri Chaitanya to McGill University in Canada. So somehow that was the first, one of the first attempts to bridge India with the West by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and that's the same year that Srila Prabhupada was born. So again, it's not no coincidence, but a very deep God incidence. And as we're told, he was born under a jackfruit tree. This is the successor of the original one. But still we have the other one there, but still the presence is there. So that's a very interesting thing, because in our tradition, as we'll see, in 2 days we will go to Mahaprabhu's birthplace in Navadvip, in Mayapur. Mahaprabhu was also born under a tree. Right? And somehow the whole beginning of the movement of Prabhupada in the West was under a tree also, in Tompkins Square Park in New York. So there's something with trees going on. No wonder Mahaprabhu said Tarora Pisahishuna. He looked at the tree and he somehow made the tree a symbol. No, let's be more and forgiving than a tree, actually. What Mahaprabhu said, more tolerant than a tree. Also, tolerant means more compassionate, more enduring, more forgiving than a tree. And somehow, in order to give birth to a movement like this, a movement of compassion and of love, there has to be so much forgiveness and love. So no wonder that, again, someone like Prabhupada was born under a tree, great compassionate person. Mahaprabhu was born under a tree, great compassionate person. So these trees have witnessed these great personalities. So therefore, the trees themselves are great personalities. And whomever bears witness to the life of a great personality becomes a great personality sometimes. So somehow we could think of these trees as very sacred trees, kalpa vriksha trees, why not? Desire well fulfilling trees. So we can spend eventually a few moments praying to the tree, embracing the tree, praying to the tree. So as also Gaura Vishwambar Prabhu was saying, this was Prabhupada's, not his maternal, paternal house, but his auntie's house. It was like a custom in India that if a child was born, somehow he will be born in the, not in his own house, but in the house of some relative. So Prabhupada was brought here and spent here. Not only was born here, but spent here the first year, basically, before moving back to the house of his father, Gaur Mohan De. That was the name of Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan De. His mother named Rajani Devi, both Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada will also mention the good fortune he had of being born in a family of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He will present himself as someone who was already practicing from some previous life, and that gave him the fortune of being born in such a family, in this particular place. So as I was saying, in one sense, this is Prabhupada's birthplace. In one sense, this is the birthplace of what eventually will become ISKCON, the movement founded by Prabhupada. In one sense, this is the birthplace of the great expansion of Krishna Bhakti throughout the world. In one sense, this is the birthplace of each of us as offshoots. Like in one sense, this is not the original tree, but the son of the original tree. this is not our birthplace, but somehow by extension it is, you know, because we are an offshoot of that seed, so to say, right? So it's a deep place. So again, we will be sharing and talking in different places, but also I think it's good for us to spend some time taking in the mood of the place. So somehow, again, this is not only the birthplace of Prabhupada, but the birthplace of our parikram as well. So we decided to start here because in one way everything started here. So we are coming here to ask the blessings of Prabhupada, to pray for his mercy, so our pilgrimage can be successful. So, okay. It's getting groovy. It's my fault for playing mridanga, now he inspired the rest of the people. So I'd like to invite you to do a...
Thank you.
We'll do an exercise between groups of three. I will be inviting you to do that as a way of also getting to know each other a little bit more, but also sinking into the what's going on in this particular place. And since I have different exercises for different places, I need my notes here, so you, I hope you understand that. So, okay. There's a different exercise going on. What? Microphone? There's a mic. Yeah.
Can we get a mic?
It's fine. It was always seems that they stop and they...
Yeah, they have to speak when they stop.
Yeah. Let's see if this house doesn't have electricity.
Not yet.
Still have the soundtrack in the background, of course, and we'll try to meditate and pray for a moment with some percussion supporting us. So we'll make this in group of three. Yeah. So this will be in groups of three. So let me first tell you the exercise, and then we'll create the groups. We'll take a few 10 minutes. Of trying to sink in. So the idea is for one first minute trying to see it. Maybe if you want, you can look at the jackfruit tree, meditate, pray, remind yourself this is the place that Srila Prabhupada was born. Trying to be sheltered by the tree and trying to go deep into the gratitude of what came from this womb, particular womb. So for a minute or so we will be in silence, trying to connect with gratitude inside of us from all that came from here. So, let's do that now. And then I tell you how we continue. So for a minute or so, let's try to engage in prayer and dialogue with the jackfruit tree and the place that Prabhupada was born. Express our gratitude. If it helps to look at the tree, if it helps, you can close your eyes for a minute or so. Now we'll create groups of three, and for a few minutes, 1 minute each, we'll be sharing, each one will be sharing what moves you in as you stand in front of Prabhupada's birthplace. So sharing in turns, 1 minute each, approx, what moves you as you stand in this place? What means to you? What's moving inside of you? So
in the evening, he would come out from his room, and this is the place where devotees would sit, and he would speak Harikatha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And during the festival, they would put a canopy, mm-hmm. and 200, 300 devotees would sit here. And
mm-hmm.
And this is where Prabhupada listened to his class.
Yes.
First. Yeah.
And actually, most of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's associates have joined him here only.
Yeah.
Like if you see Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti
Bon
Maharaj, Bhakti Doita Madhav Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, they all have met. And every one of them has a different pastime.
Yeah.
Because you know, right, when Sridhar Maharaj was coming here, he would come in a very silk attire, very nice dhoti. So people would think, and he would sit at the back, not sit in the front. So other devotees, they would discuss between themselves that maybe he's a spy of ISI who is taking information, because that was during the First World War. So they would think them to be an ISI. And the day they thought that we will capture him and we'll ask that every day you come, sit at the back, listen to everything.
And you have no questions.
No questions or anything. And Bon Maharaj, first time when he came as a college student, he saw this building and he was sitting outside the door of this building for several hours. Nobody opened. So in the morning when they opened, they saw him. And then he was welcomed here, and then they had interaction. And like Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose also met him here on 5th of October 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for the first time. So this is actually the place from where his preaching also became victorious, because after taking sannyas in Mayapur, he came here and he started everything, his entire movement from here. So this is the birthplace of Gauri Amart, of ISKCON, everywhere.
Another birthplace. Within the birthplace. All will be birthplaces,
yes,
in their own way. Bhagvasar,
yes,
will go next.
Yes.
12 years here and from there move to Bhagvasar.
Yes, so this is like sequence we are going. It's a birthplace of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So we came here now, the meeting place of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And also it's the place of, it's a very important place for all the devotees actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now,
areas,
like,
yeah.
Were there is plants like this, you think?
No. They have
yeah.
put it, but early
yeah.
it was no plants.
Yeah.
Even the surrounding buildings.
This is the new construction only.
Uh-huh.
So the building ends here, but everything is same. If you see, when you go downstairs in the museum, the pictures, the walls were like this. In early Bengal, the houses were like this, white and black on the side.
Mm-hmm. I met with him a few days ago, but I realized we were watching a video when I met his Gurudev, Bhakti Balabh Tirtha Maharaj, in 2014. And I said, well, look this video, and in the back I saw a young guy said, that's you. So he was there.
Was he there in the video?
Yeah. He was there.
When you left, okay. Maharaj showed me the video.
Yeah.
Yes.
I showed to them and I said, I think that's him, but I will ask him. So
good guess.
It was him 11 years ago. So, yeah, nice. So, yeah, this place called Bhaktivinod Asan. Sometimes they call it Ultadanga.
Ultadanga is the name of
the area,
road.
Right? The road, yeah. So, yes, Sundar Gopal already told us this is the temple opened by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur after taking sannyas in 1918. As we know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father and guru, requested him to spread the message of Mahaprabhu and so many services in connection to the spreading of the message. And as we know also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before starting his mission of spreading, he entered very deep into bhajan, into deep spiritual practice. He chanted what's called Sat Koti Nam Vyaknya, or in other words, 1 billion names, which basically means 192 rounds per day for almost 10 years. So that's how he prepared himself to preach. Right? Okay, share the message, okay. Because sometimes people may say, oh, those who preach do not have a taste for bhajan, they cannot see it and do go deep into the name. We will say someone like Bhaktisiddhanta had difficulty in waking up from bhajan because he has so much taste. No? So whatever he spread and shared was as a result of the deep taste he had in this deep bhajan. So in 1918, as we know, he accepted sannyas in a very unique way from a picture of Sri Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj to make a very interesting point. And yeah, Bhaktivinoda Asam was inaugurated in 1918. Till they moved to Bagbasar Gaudiya Math, which will be the place we'll go next, that was inaugurated in 1930. So he stayed here 12 years?
12 years.
In that room that we've just been here. And as Sundar Gopal said, it was kind of the meeting place of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta with so many of his disciples, including Srila Prabhupada. This is a meeting place, another birthplace. And this is the very famous historical first meeting with. In the first meeting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told our Srila Prabhupada. I say our Srila Prabhupada because, of course, outside of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is a title for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So sometimes we need to clarify. I remember I was once in Vrindavan, we were doing kirtan with Madhu Mangal Prabhu, disciple of Srila Siddhar Maharaj, and he was singing Prabhupada Padma Ashtakam, a song for Bhaktisiddhanta. But at the end, he sang Jai Prabhupada, and one devotee asked, like, so when you say Jai Prabhupada, you are meaning Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Swami Maharaj? Say, and he became like disturbed by the question. He said, I don't know, Prabhupada is Prabhupada. He said, like implying whomever is Prabhupada for you, that's fine, but yeah. So they met here first time 1922. That was the first meeting of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, both our Prabhupadas. And in that first meeting, as we may know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada, oh, you speak English? You're a very cultured gentleman. Why you don't spread the message? It would be good for you to spread the message in English. So somehow, and then we know very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada will say, my Gurudev gave me the order to preach in English. And if you study the actual conversation, it was not an order, it was a mere a suggestion. But Srila Prabhupada took a suggestion like an order to fulfilling his whole lifetime, which speaks about the level of a commitment of a genuine, the longing of a sincere disciple. Like a mere suggestion is enough to make that my lifelong mission, so to say. He didn't need his guru to say, I order you for your whole life, dedicate. It was just a silent glance, suggestion-like, and Prabhupada embraced that with so much longing. Right? That speaks about the nature of being a disciple also. No? You don't need to wait for the guru or the teacher to tell you, do this. Like, I mean, sometimes that may be required, but when you have a genuine thirst for service, mere suggestion becomes lifelong mission. Right? And again, we are all here, in one sense, because of what happened here. As we say before, we are all here because of what happened under the jackfruit tree. That's one way of describing the birth of Prabhupada and the birth of the Gaudiya movement spreading in the West. But this place, and our own birth, we could say the same in different ways regarding here. Today, here is another birthplace of Srila Prabhupada, because that's when he met his Gurudev. One says this is the birthplace of the spreading of the Gaudiya mission in India and abroad. This was one of the headquarters at its time. So again, as Sundar Gopal was saying, so many great personalities were walking here. No? Srila Puri Maharaj, Srila Siddhar Maharaj, Srila Bon Maharaj, Srila Madhav. Many of you may not know them, but all of them are this caliber, like Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. So you can imagine a parade of great personalities here. We are sitting here where they walked, where they had the meet. Try to, for a moment, visualize that in your heart. Right? So many of them were born here devotionally, if you want to see it that way. But as a result of that, we are born devotionally, and we can try to say something in their praise, right? So, yeah. You can spend a few moments in silence just thinking in what happened here, trying to visualize the unique meetings between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur giving Harikatha. So many eager, sincere students, and so much empowerment, so much mercy descending here. And again, seeing ourselves as a byproduct of that. Because of all those meetings, we are having this meeting here. So in its own way, this is one of many wombs of birthplaces for each one of us. We were talking today, there are different births we have. We are born many times, we die many times, we're born again. So all these places we are visiting are different birthplaces for each of us. And like a good child, we need to honor each one of our wombs. Prabhupada's birthplace here. Everywhere we will go is somehow a place that is giving birth to us. It's inviting us to a further birth, to be born to something else. Something very important also that comes to mind from Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, and we could say that at Bhag Basar as well, is that at that time most of Gaudiya Vaishnavas will live in the dhams, right? In Vrindavan, Navadvip. So they ask him, like, why Kolkata? Right? There are different things we could say. One, it is said that one of the first instructions that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur received from his guru is, never go to Kolkata. Because that was kind of the epicenter of Kali Yuga, so to say. Right? And one of the first things he did was to come to Kolkata. So outwardly may sound like, you are such a disobedient rebel disciple. Your guru tells first thing this and you do the exact opposite. But when he was confronted with that question, like, your gurudev said this and you came to the place he told you not to come. See, I never came to Kolkata and always remained at the feet of my Guru Maharaj. I never been in Kolkata. So speaking about Vrindavan, it's a state of consciousness. Yes,
like in Gauriya, he mentions that the Gauriya Math is not a part of Kolkata.
Yeah.
It's the place where Hari Guru Vaishnavas are there, that's the holy dham. Yeah. So he said that in any place, even it's in Kolkata or anywhere, but if that place has Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, that is holy dham. Mm. And he was staying in Mayapur only. He was not willing to move. Mm. But Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, that time he was Kunja Bihari, he forced him that sitting in Mayapur, who will come to this jungle? Because that time it was jungle, foxes. Mm-hmm. So he said that you have to go to, because Kolkata that time was the epicenter and many businessmen and many other people, they were staying here. So he said, you have to go to Kolkata and then you have to start your preaching. Then people will come. Who will come to Mayapur to listen to you in this jungle? Mm. So after several exchanges of letters, he thought it's a good idea because nobody was coming to Mayapur to hear from him.
Yeah. So we'll go to Mayapur and now there are buildings, it's more fancy. But at that time it was
yes.
Yeah, the famous Bengali even tigers.
Even after his disappearance also, it was all means full, only Chaitanya Math, Yogapit, Srivasangha existed.
Yeah, so mostly jungle. Yeah. And Kunja Bihari Prabhu that he was mentioning was one of the first disciples of Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, and we would say one of the administrative geniuses of the
there were few Gaudiya devotees. Math, right? Yes, few devotees who were with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur before his sannyas also, like Paramananda Prabhu, Kunja Bihari, Vidya Bhushan, Anant Vasudev. So they were all with him since his, before his sannyas, even late, till his disappearance. Mm.
So you can appreciate also disciple boldly pushing on his guru.
Yes.
It will seem like he's giving an instruction to his guru, but it's all in the context of seva. Yeah. Let's conclude with a short... Okay. To the recorder. Yeah.
This is Jasmine.
I'm going with three of them. It's the mercy of Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta coming to each one of you. In our tradition, that's a symbol, right? Where Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was born in Puri, they brought the baby to Jagannath and the garland of Jagannath fell onto him.
Yes. So
it's a mercy.
It's a mercy.
Yeah.
And there's a, it's coming in my mind, can I say it?
Yeah.
So, you know, when the first time he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and two, three of his disciples, they were roaming in this area in 1918 November, October to see some houses, because in Bhakti Bhavan he cannot stay because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's other children were there with their wives and his mother was there. So after sannyasa, they were roaming in the streets here to look for a building, and they saw this building, and previously it was a very old building, and next to, I think probably this building, so it was a very old building, now it's a apartment they have constructed, but a very old building. So they crossed the road there and was coming near to see this building. Then this part was not there, completely full big road.
Mm-hmm.
So they crossed the road and he came here. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just 4 meters away from the building, one car came and crashed, just hit on this building. And
on
the portico, yes, and the portico fell. And just Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just 4 inches away.
Okay.
And standing there, he said, he recited one shloka, which means that today I would have died, but by the grace of Lord, I have been saved. So now it shows that before we try to do any good task or any good service, there is always an obstruction. So I feel that this house is good for the preaching center of Gauriamath.
Shreya Bibhyam, how is this shloka?
Whenever
you
remember.
Want to
yes,
pursue
yes,
something
yes.
auspicious, obstacle.
Yes.
Shreya Bibhyam, see something. It's okay.
Okay, you can speak, but if I remember, yes. No, I will remember.
So that,
Shriyangshi Bahu Vignanshi.
That's it.
Shriyangshi Bahu Vignanshi. So it means that before any auspicious work, there will always be some obstruction, but we have to take risk in our life and to go ahead. So he said that I would have died on that day. It's written in Saraswati Jayashree that he would have died because he was just 4 fingers away from that portico.
Hmm.
So he said, so it's a signal that I should take this building as. So at a 50 rupees rent, 50 rupees of monthly rent, he took. And in a letter he wrote that time it was such, because he had no disciples, no sannyasis, no brahmacharis. So he said that there is nothing to run the mat. Only Harikatha and Kirtan was the only two instruments to run the mat, because no money. Then Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan was working in a post office. Whatever money he was acquiring, he was giving. And he made huge loans also.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And see, in one letter, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that he's an ideal disciple because he went to Mesopotamia to join the world war. Because in those days, they were taking people who can come and join the war, they will be given high salaries.
And actually, what I heard that Kunja Bihari Prabhu, when he was married, he would give all his monthly salary to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Yes.
All his monthly, and Bhaktisiddhanta will take some part and give it back to him to maintain his family.
No, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would keep whatever was required for the mat, and he would send that to Kunja Bihari's house, because he would bring everything and give it to him.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm.
So like that, the initial stage was very struggling, very struggling.
This is very, very special.
Okay, I cannot say. It's all mercy. So
this is from the deities.
Giridhari?
So the initial part was a very struggling period. They had huge dues. Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan, he didn't inform Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he went to Mesopotamia to join the war. So when he came back, there's a beautiful letter written by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur where he's expressing that so much struggle you are going through in the war for us, and I can't imagine we are in a good building with good blankets, eating food, and you are in Mesopotamia in the war. You must have no good blankets to cover yourself from the cold. And in that letter, he formed three trustees. He said, I don't know if I will see you or not. You may die in the war or I may die before you come back. So in this letter, I formed three trustees of the Gauriya Math. So he made him one of the trustees, Paramananda Prabhu and Ananta Vasudev Prabhu. So this is a very, this is a very, very important place. So when you sit here, imagine or you meditate, you will feel the presence. Actually, I feel, because I have been 2 years researching on this project, so I feel very connected to this place, and I feel everybody's presence here. You know, I can't say specifically, I feel the presence of all Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. So it's a very, very important place.
Very united and harmonizing for all the branches of the tree.
And all the kings, the king of Tripura came and met him here. There was one philosopher whose name is John Thomas. He used to teach philosophy in St. Xavier's College in Kolkata. So every day after his classes, he was a Jewish Christian. So he would, after his classes in the college, he would come here, and from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would hear the explanations of Sat Sandharva in English. And he inspired him that, you are giving such nice Harikathas in English, why don't you go and preach in Europe? And then in 1926, he first published the book Vaishnavism Real and Apparent from here.
You can see Sundar Gopal is far up talking about this place.
No, because
he loves this place. You love this place.
Of course, it's a very special place, because
Throwing some flames on to us to put us on fire.
Because, I was given the responsibility of doing the research work for this building. So it's like, the book is yet to be published. So it's like 1918 to 1930, the place from where it started, where it all started, the name of the book. So hopefully by all your blessings and Prabhupada's blessings, we will finish it by next year. Okay. It has all the pastimes of Ultudanga from 1918-30.
You got a nice one. Mm-hmm. You have 5 more minutes before going to the museum?
Yes.
You can do some little exercise which helps us to visualize what happened here, and also to step into what Sundar Gopal just mentioned about whenever you want to pursue some auspicious goal in the life, some challenge will come, and we have to be willing to embrace some degree of risk-taking.
That is where actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is establishing that you need to have a firm faith that Krishna will protect me. So even though there are no stairs, one stair, there is nothing, but you have to think that Krishna will protect you. My Guru Maharaj would say that if Dhruva and Prahlad could achieve, why can't we? Because we have some deficiencies. So that we have to have that firm faith. So that what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established, that we need to have a firm faith.
This is one of the main aspects of Sharanagati or surrender, right? Like trusting Krishna will protect me and accepting that we are being maintained by him. So we'll do one little exercise, which again is a form of meditation and sharing. I call it exercise, but it's just satsang and harikatan, revealing our minds to each other. So we'll sit in groups of three, and we'll ask ourselves this question and replies to us, visualizing the meeting of Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta here, not only with Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, but with so many other great personalities, and making it personal. I'm thinking, okay, if Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will meet me here today, right? So what will he invite me to step into? Yeah, and probably what I need to let go for that step to happen. Yeah? It's a way of owning the place and be part of this by stepping into what someone like Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will embody with his fearlessness.
This is the original place that created by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada in 1930. And the whole temple was donated by one person, J.B. Datta, from East India, from East Bengal. And Prabhupada motivated him and he took shelter in the lotus feet of Prabhupada and explained whole temple. He had no children, so only two wife and he. He was a businessman, ink, small business, but whatever he earned, he donated. He bought this place and made the temple and offered to Prabhupada's lotus feet. And in 1937, 1st January, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada entered into his spiritual abode here. He took last bath. And he told sometime before he passed away, he was sitting on the roof of the front portion of the temple, and suddenly he told that when Lord Chaitanya, after taking his sannyas, he was going to Puri, beside Ganga, there was a small path. He was coming and he passed through this place. Lord Chaitanya's footprint and foot dust remain here in the place, in this place. Understood? And so it is the place where Lord Chaitanya passes away. Lord Chaitanya walked on the land, on this land. And he was controlling everything from this place. It was the head office. Bhagbazar Gaudiyama. It was the head office. And all Maharajas, his disciple, 20 sannyasa disciple, used to live here with Prabhupada. But the museum and other building built after, not at the time of Prabhupada. So we are lucky, we are living here, we are serving here, and we are looking after this building which was made by Singapore. And you can also see the kitchen portion made by Prabhupada, backside of this building. And he established Paravidya Pith in 1935 to get knowledge, transcendental, from this place. Paravidya Pith. And the J.V. Datta, who donated this place, he used to live, you have come through that road, the other side of the road.
I showed them the building.
We acquired this place. Mm-hmm. And you have visited the place Ultradanga
place. You are coming from Ultradanga now.
Before Prabhupada, he used to stay there and he built this temple, staying in that place. So, you all welcome, and generation after generation will come to see the original place of Bhakti Siddhanta.
Hey Krishna, Hari Bol.
Welcome here to the Bhagavasar Gaudiya Math. As we were talking, we were in Bhaktivinoda Asana Ultradanga a few moments ago. There, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur opened that place in 1918, and then they moved here in 1930. So he spent 12 years in Bhaktivinoda Asana, and then he opened this temple called Bhagavasar Gaudiya Math, which became basically the headquarters, as Srila Sannyasi Maharaj was saying, headquarters of the whole Gaudiya Math. No? Gaudiya Math eventually had 64 branches, 64 maths or monasteries, but basically this plus Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, we'll be visiting in 2 days. Next to the yoga pit, next to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, there's a mat called Sri Chaitanya Mat. That and this one are kind of the two main headquarters of what was known as the Gaudiya Mat at that time. No? There's always this technical detail that I always tell the devotees, there's no thing called Gaudiya Mat now. Because Gaudiya Mat was the original institution by Bhaktisiddhanta, but after his passing, as it usually happens, what great personalities leave, devotees, disciples have different opinions, different lineages coming. So from Gaudiya Math came Gaudiya Mission and Chaitanya Math. And from there, further and further. So this Gaudiya Bhagavasar Gaudiya Math is in charge of the Gaudiya Mission. And Sannyasi Maharaj we met, he's the acharya of the Gaudiya Mission. In most Gaudiya Maths, really they have this system of acharya, and the acharya appoints a successor acharya, and there's based generally one acharya, generally, not always. So as we were saying, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta came to Kolkata. From here there was a very intense dynamic spreading of the message. They will have daily newspapers published, spiritual newspapers, one of them called the Gaudiya. The daily one was Nadia Prakash, which means the light of Nadia. Nadia is another name for Navadvip. So another name for Mahaprabhu, the light of Navadvip. So they will have every day newspaper published for years. Someone is famously once, someone asked Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, but you are publishing a daily newspaper, there will be a day that you will run out of content. No? And he very naturally said he was here in Kolkata, say, well, we are here in Kolkata. How many newspapers are published on a daily basis in Kolkata? Many. And all of them are speaking about the world of limitations. But I'm talking about Vaikuntha, which means without limits. So you are asking me about having problems with content? He said, if I could, I could publish one newspaper per second.
Wow.
The only problem, not enough interest in the audience. That's what he said. There's not enough interest in the audience. But if it's for me, we can publish a newspaper every second. We are sharing about Vaikuntha, the unlimited realm. So there, it never runs. It's ever evolving. So from that spirit, he will have many of his disciples. I mean, imagine to publish a daily newspaper. That takes work. His disciples writing articles, having this whole printing presses. No, in his spirit of Yukta Vairagya, he had this spirit of Yukta Vairagya, which means Rupa Goswami speaks about proper renunciation. Rupa Goswami defines proper renunciation doesn't mean to leave the world, to reject matter, but to embrace everything with Krishna in the center. So Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta in that sense was very innovative, sorry, very revolutionary, because he was embracing all the latest modern developments of technology. At the time, like riding a car, for us riding a car is like normal, but at that time there were not many cars, and sannyasis were generally supposed to be walking barefoot to wherever they went. He was riding a car. To make the point, technologies to be used in the service. At one point someone told him also, Vaishnavas, you shouldn't be riding in a car. You are supposed to be renounced, transcendental. I say, and his understanding of Vaishnavas knows what matter is. He said, only Vaishnavas should be riding cars. he took the answer in the other direction, because in the sense, only ones who knows how to engage matter should be engaging, using matter properly, not exploiting it. So that spirit, he will resort to printing presses again, which at the time was a very later technological development, and have books printed and daily newspapers printed. Even in the logo of the Gaudiya Math, I don't know if you have seen the logo anywhere, it's divided in two. It has Vaidhi and Raganuga included, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha and Krishna. And on the side of Raganuga Bhakti, there is a Mridanga and there is a printing press. And there is something interesting in this connection. The printing press, it's a long conversation. On the side of the logo about Raganuga Bhakti, it's like, what does the printing press have to do with Raganuga Bhakti? Printing press being a symbol of engaging modernity in the service of Bhagavan. And this we will see in a minute, I mean more than a minute after the museum. The Bhag Bazar Gaudiya Math is a marble temple. It's made of marble. Nowadays it's usual to see marble temples, but at that time it was not usual to see marble temples. It was like something huge. And again, Gaudiya Vaishnavas generally were thought to be living in a cave or in a cottage, and he was building a marble temple and riding cars and printing books and having newspapers. So for many it was like even shocking, like this is a deviation. Unfortunately, many still to this day think this lineage is deviated, right? Unfortunately, that's another conversation. But the thing is that the spirit for him to build a huge marble temple was not like, let's be fancy, let's be opulent, let's enjoy a marble temple. It was, let's use all the riches and resources in the world and make a big point by investing all that in the service of Radha and Krishna. So they were collecting money like crazy and throwing all that money at the feet of Radha and Krishna, so to say. And when they moved from the previous place, Ultadanga, to this place, there was a procession where the deities were taken from one temple to the other, long procession, you can imagine the distance. So they were taken, and Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta composed a series of a song with different lines. There's one main line that Prabhupada, that Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say, this is the spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhange. Srila Siddhar Maharaj will repeat that many times, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhange. He will say, that is Bhakti Siddhanta Bani, the spirit of Bhakti Siddhanta is there. So that line means Pujala Ragapata. Ragapata means the path of Raganuga Bhakti, the path of passionate love, following the footsteps of the Brajavasis. He says, Pujala, we worship that path. No? We don't rush into trying to be in that path like prematurely, but we offer proper respect. Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhange. How? By engaging everything, all the things that are attractive to us now, attract our sense, etc. We take all that and we offer that in service to the path of passionate devotion. And by doing that, gradually we'll become more and more free from material desires and we'll become fit to tread that path ourselves. And that was his method. Like Narottam Das Thakur sings in this song, Gauranga Bolite Habe, like eventually by engaging my senses in your service, I will be free from all selfish desire and be qualified to loving you in the path of Raga. So that was his spirit. We are making so much effort to collect money, build a marble temple, print books, all of that to make a point, which is to invest our time and energy and senses and capacities to serve Bhagavan. And in doing that, gradually in us, there will be a purification and a further attraction, a fascination to the, in a realistic way, to the love of the Vrajavasis. And he could make that point, as we say, before starting this whole huge campaign, he was chanting in the forest, in the jungle, for 10 years, 192 rounds per day. So he had that raga, that attraction. It's not like, I need to do all that. He came from there to make a point for us. So that was an important point he made with this marble temple. And of course it was interesting, because after building the marble temple, some of his disciples started to fight about getting the more fancier room for themselves, right? So they didn't get the point. Not all of them, but a few were, some like, I want the bigger marble room, this. And he, when he saw that, he said, I'm ready to sell all the marble and print books. No? If you don't get the point of Yukta Vairagya Puja Laragavata Gaurava Bhange, I don't have a problem dismantling this whole thing, because this is to make a point. I can live in a hut, in a cottage, but this is to, for us to understand this important principle, for us and for the rest of the world too. Okay, let's make this very huge thing to take our attention, to take our faculties, and to consume them in the service of Bhagavan. So anyhow, from here he organized most of the activities of the Gaudiya Math, printing books, preaching, and it was his headquarters. This here is, as Sannyasi Maharaj was saying, where Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed. He entered Litya Lila. We'll visit his room. First we will go next to the museum, Chaitanya Museum. It will be a trailer for our Navadvip Parikram. But then we will go back to the Bhag Basar Gaudiya Math, because the darshan now is closed, so we'll see the deities installed by him and the room where he passed, where there is the famous pastime also where Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was asked Srila Siddhar Maharaj to sing for him Sri Rupa Manjari Pad. But Srila Siddhar Maharaj was not so well known as being a melodious kirtaniya in the external sense of the word. So some other devotee asked someone else, you sing. And when the other devotee started to sing, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said, I don't want to hear a nice voice, I want to hear Srila Siddhar Maharaj. So for everyone at that moment was clear, okay, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta is giving Srila Siddhar Maharaj entrance into the intimate group of service of Srila Rupa Manjari, because that song is about Sri Rupa Manjari. And Srila Siddhar Maharaj very humbly said, no, he didn't make me a member of, he put me at the gate of the inner circle of Rupa Manjari, so I'm there guarding, so nobody unqualified enters there and makes a mess and disturbs the whole thing. I'm Bhakti Rakshak, he will say, the guardian of the bush. I'm at the gateway. So all that happened in that room that we will see later, and there's this kitchen that Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta made. So again, a very place with lots of history, with lots of meaning, lots of our DNA, even if we didn't know about it, it's connected to places like that. So I think it's very beautiful for us to come and start to make sense of, oh, this is part of who I am. I mean, I became a devotee, but I didn't know certain details, but all that formed my background. Some of you may be aware mostly of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, but he didn't exist in a vacuum, right? He didn't start with his own sampradaya. He has his guru, he has his god brother, he has his places and experiences here and there. So all this is part of that extended DNA that we are carrying with us. So it's a way of gaining more awareness of who we are, which our legacy and all that we can be as well. So, yeah. A few words about Bhag Basar Gaudiya Math. Bhag Basar is the name of the area. That's why it's called Bhag Basar Gaudiya Math. So, beautiful place. Maybe before going to the museum, which will be a very interesting experience. I've been there a few years ago. Very modern, very interesting. And going to the Bhag Basar, maybe we can spend a few moments in silence together here praying at the feet of naturally sized Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta. Again, these are places that Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta walked, and so many great souls. And as Sannyasi Maharaj said, Mahaprabhu himself walked from his way to Navadvip to Puri. So he did what we are seeing here, not as a sannyasi, he had long hair, but still Mahaprabhu came here, so we can spend a few moments praying, asking for blessings, trying to let the energy, the content of this place sink in as much as possible.